Welcome to Living Way Church as we are being transformed by the Word of God through another dynamic message from our senior pastor, Vic Prieto. Now join us to hear what God has to say as our service is already in progress.
All right, if you have your Bibles, turn to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. And I want us to read verses 41 through 42 together. Acts chapter 2, verses 41 through 42. Let's read. Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in prayer. So the Bible tells us in Acts chapter 17, it's not on the screen, but it tells us that this early church had such a major impact in their ministry that it was said about them that they turned the world upside down. You know, how did they do that? You know, I know for certain it was because they were endued with power from the Holy Spirit, right? I mean, we know that's necessary. We talked earlier how there's three relationships that we have with the Holy Spirit. We have the Holy Spirit with us, and that's before we get saved. The Holy Spirit's with us, just trying to encourage us, to move us forward, to believe in Jesus. And then once we open up our heart to Jesus for the first time, the Holy Spirit comes in us. So he was with us, and then we get saved, and the Holy Spirit comes in us. And a lot of times, many Christians just stop there. And there is another experience that we have with the Holy Spirit. It's when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And that's what we need. That's everything that took place on Pentecost. You know, that's what Jesus was telling his disciples. And don't leave Jerusalem until you receive the promise of the Father. When the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you shall receive power. All right, so we know that the early believers were able to have a powerful impact from their ministry because they were empowered with the Holy Spirit. But I want to tell you, that's not all. That's not all. We depend heavily on the power of the Holy Spirit, the workings of the Holy Spirit, the discernment of the Holy Spirit, the gifts of the Holy Spirit. We depend heavily on that. We need him because he's not only with us, he's in us and upon us, right? And so, but I want to make sure that we understand that being empowered with the Holy Spirit isn't the only thing that caused this early church to have such a major impact in their generation. And this is what it is. After the Holy Spirit came upon those who were saved, they continued. Everyone say they continued. It says they continued steadfastly in these four simple pursuits. They taught the word. They shared in fellowship. They broke bread in communion and they prayed. This is what they did. They continued steadfastly. Everyone say steadfastly. Steadfastly means to do something in a firm, steady, and unwavering way. So after they were filled with the Holy Spirit, man, they continued in these four things, steadfastly in these four things. And listen, these things were non-negotiable. We got filled with the Holy Spirit. We operate in the power of the Spirit, but these things are non-negotiable, and we have to continue steadfastly to sit under the teaching of the Word, to have fellowship with one another, to break bread in communion, and to pray. And that's what they did, and the rest is history. Listen, turn to your neighbor and say, keep it simple. Yeah. Listen, we at LWC need to be steadfast, unwavering, to keep our ministry model with a simple perspective. All right, I want to make this really clear to us because there is a pull, you know, and it's not a pull from anything in particular. It's not a pull from anyone in particular, but there is a pull, a natural pull, that would cause us to try to make things more complicated than they need to be. Yeah? So whether it's a business person or a business, just like a business person, just like a business, pastors, you know, ministry leaders, churches, religious organizations, there's a tendency to think that if we add more programs, if we add more systems, if we make it more complicated, then we will somehow reach the success level that we think we need to reach. And listen, although business models are important and can be very, very helpful, and although we will grab hold of some business tips, you know, organizational skills, leadership tips, even though we'll grab hold of some of those things, our ministry model here at LWC, we must make sure that we remain simple, uncomplicated, and organic. Yeah? And listen, I don't know if you recognize this, but LWC is unique. You know, LWC is an oasis of sorts. It's a refuge. You know what I'm saying? It's a refuge. It's an oasis. It's a place where when people cross the threshold and they enter in through the doors of this church, when they come into this atmosphere, they are able to get away from this hustle and bustle of a competitive cutthroat world. Are you hearing me? There is no competitiveness here. And it makes it beautiful. No one's fighting for position, rank, or title. Do you understand? No one's trying to shoulder their way or strong arm their way for a place in the spotlight. No one's doing that. Man, we are united, and that is a beautiful and powerful thing. We're a humble group of people, and we're all here for the same thing. Right? Man, we want to grow in our relationship with the Lord, every one of us. We want to learn to love one another and serve one another right. Right? We're all here for the same reason. You know, we want to come together and learn how to love our community. We want to do our part. Each of us wants to say, what can I do to be part of making an impact for the kingdom of God in the world I live in, the city I live in, the school I go to, the job I work at? Man, we're all here for the same reason, church. We are a humble group of people who all want the same thing. And listen, we are united. We are absolutely united. You know, we all come from different walks of life. You know, we have a very diverse culture here, don't we? We're a church of all kinds of various ages, right? We have a wide range of socioeconomic status in this church. We have different backgrounds and different upbringings. We're so very different, and yet we're so beautifully united. There's no divisions among us, church. There's no factions, there's no gossip, there's no backbiting. Listen, this is the culture that we have to build from. And it's a beautiful thing. Listen, I love doing life and ministry with each one of you. Listen, from the sincerity of my heart, there is no other place than I'd rather be than to be serving alongside you here at LWC. There's no other place. I have no other dreams to go anywhere. Man, the Lord has established something very, very solid, very, very genuine, very, very authentic. And I'm telling you, we are poised for a great move of the Lord. And this is why it's important that we have to be steadfast. Because if we double in size, you know, that brings responsibility. So regardless of what happens, if there's an outpouring, if there's a great increase that comes, we have to continue steadfast and unwavering to keep our ministry model simple and focused on what matters most. Yeah? And so that's what today's about. You know, may the Lord always keep our ministry grounded. You know, and focused on the things that matter most. You know, I pray that every time we get together, man, we just come here because we just want to worship the Lord together. And we come together because we want to sit under the teaching of the Word of God and learn together from His all-powerful Word. And that we'll come together so that we can enjoy genuine, true fellowship with one another, that we can break bread in communion and pray together. Amen? This is what the early church did, and this is a model we have to follow. So it says that they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. Listen, the early church didn't just dabble in the word. Man, they consumed it. They consumed it. Even when you read Peter's first sermon in Acts chapter 2, we just read verses 41 and 42, but in Acts chapter 2, verses 14 through 40, we have Peter's first sermon right after the Holy Spirit fell. You know, they were speaking in other tongues, and all these people in the city were wondering, what is going on? Some people were amazed and saying, oh, what can this be? Other people thought they were drunk, and Peter stood up and he began to preach his first sermon. And man, he is full of the word of God. He has it memorized. He's quoting from Joel. He's quoting from Psalms. And at the end of his very first sermon, 3,000 people get saved and baptized. One day, one sermon. Because the word of God is what brings success. And not only him, but if you read further on in Acts chapter 7, when we read about Stephen, he was the very first Christian martyr. The whole chapter is his message. And man, this guy goes through a biblical, historical, chronological account from Abraham. I wrote these things down. From Abraham to Jacob, to the 12 patriarchs, to Joseph being sold into slavery and how he became the number two guy in all of Egypt, how the Israelites as slaves begin to multiply and grow into a mighty nation, how God delivers Israel out of Egypt through Moses, how Israel rebelled against God for 40 years in the wilderness. He teaches about the tabernacle of a witness in the wilderness that Moses fashioned according to what God showed him. To David, who found favor with God and wanted to build him a dwelling place. To Solomon, who actually was the one that built a house for God. He goes through all of these things. Listen, these men and women of God knew the word. They didn't just dabble in it. Man, they were consumed in it, man. They devoured it. And this is what brings success. It's not a business model. It's being committed to the word of God, amen? That's what we're after. Look at Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. It says, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night. That word meditate means to ponder by speaking. To ponder by speaking. So this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, being careful to observe to do all that is written in it. Then you will make your way prosperous, and you will have great success. This is how it works. This is how the word of God begins to move. How can a young man keep his way pure? By keeping it according to the word of God. Yeah? Lord, I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. It's the word of God. That's what brings success and prosperity. It's the same thing in Psalm 1. We're not turning there today, but you know what? Blessed is he who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor sits in the path of the scornful, but in his law he meditates day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by rivers of water, who don't fade, and whose bears its fruit in its season. And whatever he does will prosper. It's a promise. It's a promise. And so we will make sure that staying in the word of God is a non-negotiable. We have to continue steadfast and unwavering to sit under the teaching of the word. You know, maybe you've heard that a Bible that's falling apart usually belongs to a person who isn't. Yeah, and that's true. If you're wearing out your Bible because you're continuing steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, in the word of God, you're going to be prosperous and you're going to be successful, and that's a promise. Yeah? We started off this year saying we got to get back to the basics, remember? One of those things, man, get back to your daily devotions. Spend time in your word. And so we're reading really a chapter a day out of the New Testament as a church. All of you got these real life journals so you can track and journal. Learned how to do this SOAP, scripture, observation, application, prayer. Why? Because the Lord is saying, man, if we can get everybody in the word, devouring the word, we're going to be prosperous and successful in everything we put our hand to. Amen? So they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, the teaching of the word, and in fellowship. Everyone say fellowship. The Greek word for fellowship is koinonia, and this is really what it means. It simply means to share or to communicate. To share or to communicate. We will continue steadfastly in fellowship or koinonia. And so as those who are united with Christ, man, we're to share the life of Christ with each other all the time. When we get together, man, we're to be kind of urging each other on and talking about the second coming of Christ and talking about heaven and the kingdom of God and how to establish it. Man, this is the fellowship. These are the conversations we have. Our conversations are around our life in Christ. And so the koinonia always results in individual and corporate spiritual growth. Fellowship. So we got to continue steadfastly. 1 John 1:7. It says, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. So one of the ways we know that we have fellowship with God is that we have fellowship with one another. That's one of the ways we know. Look it. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. So one way that we know that we have fellowship with God, one way that we know we're walking in his light is that we have this fellowship between one another. There's nothing broken, right? If we're truly walking in the light, if we're truly walking in the light as he is in the light, we won't have any secrets. We won't have anything to hide, right? There'll be nothing lurking in the shadows of our relationship, right? No shady business going on because we're walking in the light. We're walking in the light. Listen, whenever fellowship is broken between two people, you know, whenever the lines of communication break down between husband and wife, but among friends, among family, whenever there is a breakdown in fellowship, whenever a breakdown of communication takes place, it's usually because someone is not walking in the light. And listen, it doesn't necessarily mean that they're walking in blatant sin. It can simply mean that one of the people in this fellowship, this koinonia relationship, one of them, maybe they're not walking in blatant sin, but maybe it could mean that they're just uncomfortable sharing with you what they're really going through at the moment. Come on, are you hearing this? Let me give you an example, okay? When my girls, Rachel and Brittany, were like 14, 15, 16 years old, my relationship with them and their relationship with me began to change. See, they were becoming young women. And it seemed like all of a sudden, they had more in common to talk to mom about than me. Right? And there was nothing wrong with it, but I felt it. I felt it. I was left out of certain conversations. And, you know, we had a rhythm. You know, since the kids were little, man, get up in the morning, we'd have breakfast, you know, we'd talk a little bit. And then every day I'd drive my girls to school, we'd talk, I'd pray over them. And when I'd drop them off, I'd say, remember, you're a Prieto and you love Jesus. It was a regular thing that we did. And when they got a little older, the conversations, I was kind of left out of some of these conversations. Around the breakfast table, it became a little more quiet. And so one morning I got up because I was feeling it. I was feeling it like, man, there's just something's missing. And so one morning I got up, as I always do, got coffee, went in the living room, turned on the lamp, prayed a little bit, opened up my Bible, and I opened up to 1 John 1:7. If we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of his son cleanses us from all sin. That verse gave me wisdom. It was a word of knowledge for me to know what I needed to do because I understood it. I understood it. So that morning at the breakfast table, I told my kids and my wife, I said, listen, I got the scripture this morning, and I explained it to them. I said, listen, you know, we're at different stages. You know, you're young women now. Man, you're thinking independently, and I think that's great. You're growing up. But I don't know if I'm growing up at the pace you're growing up. And so it just seems like our communication has shifted a little bit. And I shared this verse with him that if you and me, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, our fellowship will come back together. And listen, if I've made a mistake or if you've made a mistake, we can bring it out and we can all be forgiven from misunderstandings. And so this scripture, it gave my daughters, my wife and I, a safe place to express ourselves freely. And most importantly, we were able to bring things into the light in very real, honest, humble conversations. And we were able to reestablish the fellowship that we're supposed to have in Christ. Yeah, come on, are you hearing this? Listen, when you walked in this morning, you should have received a handout. It's called the Fellowship Factor. Every one of you should have it. If you don't have it, raise your hand. I want you each to have one. If you don't have one, raise your hand. I need ushers, please, someone to help hand those out. I just want to walk through this with you. This is a resource, something that I put together after I got that verse. Because listen, how many of you recognize how important it is that we as a Christian community walk in healthy relationships? Yeah, we can't be walking around with marriages falling apart and a breakdown in relationships. Man, we have to learn how to steward well relationships so that we can model what the Lord wants us to model this side of heaven. All right, so this handout is something that will not only help you with your family relationships, your marital relationships, but your friendships as well. Here's that scripture, 1 John 1:7, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. 3 John 1:4 says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Oh, isn't that what we need? Come on, there's no greater joy than to know that you and your children are walking in truth. Listen, nothing hidden, no lies, no deception, right? No secrets. John's letter is filled with references to fellowship. Fellowship means more than a superficial conversation after church or a midweek meal together. The biblical term conveys the idea of a deep sharing of life, partnership together in a common cause, and spiritual oneness. Remember that the intimacy and fulfillment of biblical fellowship, whether with God or with others, first requires a relationship. Relationship's the key to fellowship. This six-question test will help you determine the quality of the fellowship within a relationship. Hey, is it okay that we're just going over some things? This is a very practical resource that will help you. Number one question. Are there any unresolved tensions or conflicts in the relationship? So if you're walking in relationship, maybe it's between your husband and wife, your children, whatever fellowship, whatever group where you have relationships, man, these are some things that maybe twice a year you get out and you kind of go over these things and you can do it individually and then come together and try to walk through this together, to gauge how healthy your relationship is, because we want you to succeed. We want your relationship to prosper, right? Listen, when I'm 80 years old, been married to my wife for 60 years, I want to love her more than I did the day I met her. I want our communication to be stronger and better than ever, right? I don't want to get locked up in a television screen or behind a newspaper. Man, she has got to be it for me, and I want to be it for her. Same thing with my kids, right? And so are there any unresolved tensions or conflicts in the relationship? If so, these must be addressed. But how many of you know you got to know how to address them? Number two, are we spending adequate time together? If not, there can never be intimacy. Number three, are we communicating openly and honestly? The sharing of thoughts, concerns, feelings, plans, even motives is indispensable to true fellowship. Number four, do we share the same vision? If we're going in two different directions, it will be impossible to be partners. Right? So we need to discuss seasons in our life, husbands and wives, seasons with our kids. You know, I came into a season with my kids when they were becoming women. That was a season. And I had to understand, how do we bring these two lives together? I'm looking to settle down. They're looking to launch out. Right? I'm thinking, man, they're going to be driving soon. They're thinking, we're going to be driving soon. I'm thinking, they're going to be driving soon. You know what I mean? So how do we bring these two seasons together with a common vision so that we can move forward? If we don't have a common vision, we'll be divided. Amen? Same thing when you get older. You know, when the kids move it out of the house. Empty nesters. You know, my wife and I, a year before our kids were going to be graduating high school, so it was really 2 years we had these conversations, we began to sit down and go out on dates, and we were going to talk about how are we going to communicate with the kids not around. Because all of our communication is about church and kids. And so we had to go out on dates intentionally to say, listen, we're not going to talk about the kids. We're not going to talk about church. We're going to talk about what our next 5 years are going to look like. And it took effort. It took effort, church. So these are intentional things. Do we share the same vision? Number five, are we committed to this relationship? Are we committed? Listen, if the relationship is not a priority, fellowship will never be a reality. Yeah? Number six, are we laying aside our own agendas and looking out for the best interest of others? Self-centeredness cannot coexist with fellowship. Yeah, we live others first. But it doesn't mean that your dreams and visions don't matter. It doesn't mean that your feelings don't matter. Right? We got to be able to bring these things together. As we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have this fellowship. And we're able to work through these things and prosper and be successful in all we do, right? With the word of God directing us. Amen? Come on, is this helpful? I just want to put the resource in your hands because these are things we have to live by. Right? These are non-negotiables if we're going to have an impact with the things that are coming down the pike. Amen? And listen, the Bible's really clear that difficult times will come. It's very clear, but listen, I'm not afraid of that. You know, they're going to come, but it's not going to change me. I refuse to be a victim of what's going to come. I'm not going to be a victim of society. We're walking in the victory. We're going to sit under the teaching of the word. We're going to have fellowship with one another. We're going to break bread in communion, and we're going to pray. We're going to gather around that. That's what we're going to do. Amen? And so when people come into LWC, there's no competitions. You know, no one's trying to vow for position. No one's trying to worm their way into the spotlight. Man, we are all together for the same reason. Jesus, we need to grow in you. We need to learn to continue to love, that our love won't grow cold. And if things get too complicated, listen, this is what the Bible says. We are to be the head and not the tail. And so listen, if we get so busy and so distracted that we're trying to chase our own agenda, we got it backwards. We're to be the head. And this is how we're going to lead. That, Lord, we're going to keep it simple. And it's going to be an organic type of thing that brings growth by doing these four things that the early apostle, we got to continue steadfastly, unwavering in these four things. The Bible also says that we are to be on top only and not underneath. So listen, we don't need to be underneath the pressure of competitiveness. The pressure of keeping up with the Joneses, keeping up with the church next door. No. Man, this is our assignment. We know who we are here and we know where we're going. And we know what God is doing. Amen? And it's a good place to belong to, but we got to stay focused. We got to stay true to what God has called us to do. Come on, is this good? You guys feeling this is a good place to belong to? Listen, I learned something really interesting last week about redwood trees. You know those sequoias? Man, those big, huge sequoias. I remember as a kid, we went camping and camped at the Sequoia National Park. You know those big redwood trees? You know what I'm talking about? Those big, huge sequoias? Well, I learned something about these sequoias this week, that these sequoias, although they appear to be really, really strong and mighty, immovable, they have a really shallow root system. And so it only takes a little bit of a breeze to topple one over. And this is why they grow in groves. Because just underneath the surface, huge, massive thing above the surface, but just under the surface, all of their root systems are intertwined. And they become immovable and unshakable. Listen, the same principle stands with our fellowship. Man, when we are connecting with each other below the surface and we are speaking of the Word of God, man, when we are connecting in real fellowship, our root systems are coming together and we will be an immovable, unshakable force. Yeah? And we won't be taken out. Listen, Jesus said, the gates of hell will not prevail against my church. So we got to make sure that we don't bring hell into the church. Listen, doesn't mean you don't bring sin. I mean, we come here. That's what the breaking of bread and communion fellowship's for, right? This is what all these things are about, right? Look at James chapter 5 with me, beginning in verse 13. It says, is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. Is any among you sick? Is any among you sick? Look at, let him call. Say that with me. Let him call. Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. So let me pause right here because this is fellowship. This is doing life together. Is anyone among you sick? And listen, this doesn't mean that maybe you have a congestion in your chest. You know, it doesn't necessarily mean that you have a physical illness, but your marriage can be sick. You can be dealing with depression and be dealing with some mental depression or mental anxiety. And it's a sickness. You know what I'm talking about? You can be dealing with something like that. It says, is anyone among you sick? Listen to what it says. Let him call. Let him call. Listen, this is how the body of Christ is to operate. Because if you are sick and you need help, and you're sitting around, pastor never called me. Listen, I've had so many people walk in the church and they have church hurt because they say, we left the church and nobody ever called me. Well, let me ask you, did you call them when you were sick? Did you call them when you were heart sick because you felt left out? It's the word. And listen, let me say this too. If you have a friend that is ill or they're dealing with something, listen, you can call me and say, will you pray for him? But I'm going to tell you, go to your friend and have them call me. Give them my number. If they don't call me, I'm probably not going to call them. And let me tell you why. Because when they sit down and they realize, I'm going to call the elders or I'm going to call Pastor Vic. When they sit down and begin to dial, there's something that begins to happen in their heart because they're going to be talking to someone that is a Christian. So before they even call, they're starting to deal with maybe some sin issues in their heart or whatever's going on. Amen. So let me tell you what happens often, and it brings a church down. It brings fellowship down. Is that if someone's sick, and the pastor finds out, the elders find out, and man, we just run to him right away. And by the way, I do that, just so you know. I'm not like, didn't call me, I ain't calling you. I'm not drawing that line, you know what I mean? But I want to give opportunity for the Word of God to work. Because a lot of times what happens is that we will bypass that step to have them call, and we intercept a necessary process for the healing. Yeah? Listen, when somebody takes the initiative to give me a call, say, I got your number from so-and-so. When they take the initiative, we're 75 yards down the field already. Yeah? And I don't have to ask them, hey, what's going on? You know, I heard you're not feeling good. Man, they just call and say, I got your number. Hey, what's happening? And then I just let them start telling me what's happening. And listen, so look what it says here. It says, let them call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick. Listen, what will save the sick? Listen, does the oil save the sick? Oh, we got to get that right. You know, the oil is a symbol of the Holy Spirit. But I got people saying, oh, man, when I go to Jerusalem, first thing I'm bringing back some holy oil. I said, you can use olive oil from your cupboard. It's not the oil that heals. It's a symbol. It's the prayer of faith that heals. Yeah? Grab some canola oil. You know, I have, anointing oil with frankincense. I get it. I buy it. You know, but I understand, man, because I like the smell of frankincense. Man, you anoint someone with oil that's sick and that smell happens. You know, I went to the Charlie Ann. Me and Charlie Ann go visit the people there at the nursing home. And we're out in the parking lot. And I said, come here, Charlie Ann. And I just we just lathered up our hands. And I said, man, it's like drip. And I said, I think I got too much. And I said, should we wipe some off? She goes, no, come on, let's go. And so we're just walking down, you know, and I didn't even stop, you know, I don't stop. But man, you got that fragrant oil on your hand, and man, you just say, oh, God bless you, it's good to see you. And it's leaving a fragrance. Yeah, we're the fragrance of the Lord. Yeah. But listen, it's not the oil that does the healing. It's the prayer of faith. It's the prayer of faith. So look what he says. Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. Listen, and the prayer of faith will save the sick. The Lord will raise him up. Now look at this part. And if he has committed sins, he'll be forgiven. But look at verse 16. Confess your trespasses to one another. If we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of his son cleanses us from all our sin. So listen, if I'm walking in the light, and you're walking in the light, and I've blown it, I've sinned, you've sinned, confess your sins to one another. Come into the light that you might be healed. The effective fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Amen? Yeah? I think I'm going to stop because I have two more to go. It's a little after 10:15, and next week we're going to have communion, and I want to spend some time on that. I want to spend time on communion and the breaking of bread, okay? I want to spend some time on that, and I'll tell you why, because this generation that we're living, it seems like this generation doesn't seem to take communion as importantly as the generations prior. And I think that maybe there's a reason, because most churches, most Christians, this time of communion and breaking bread is such a somber, almost a heavy, heavy thing. And so I think that we kind of like, you know, steer away from them a little bit, because I think that sometimes we focus too much on the process of Jesus' birth rather than on the purpose for his birth. And so I just wonder, did Jesus intend for us to gather around the communion table, spending a whole bunch of time thinking about his pain without celebrating our gain? That's what I want to talk about next week, because it's a time of celebration. Amen? Yeah, yeah, yeah. So we're going to spend some time in communion next week. I'll probably do a brief thing for people that weren't here. I'll do just a brief overview of what we talked about today, very brief, and then I want to get into the breaking of bread and prayer. And, man, I think we're going to have communion. We're going to break into prayer. You know, we just want to tap into some of these things that the Lord is teaching about. That sound good? Everybody good? You get something out of today. Come on, how many of you can see we're going somewhere? Yeah, the Lord's got us set up. He's got us on a trajectory. And right now he's laying down these foundational stones so that we won't wobble. We're not going to be easily shaken. We're not going to be distracted or taken off course. Regardless, listen, if revival comes, we maintain the same. Yeah? So I don't know. I don't know how to handle or steward a revival. And I'm kind of glad. Because I think if I knew how, I'd probably get in the way. Right? But if we know what our foundations are and what we're going to stand on, man, regardless of what happens, we'll just have to figure out how do we do two or three services. Because listen, let me tell you something real quick before I let you go. We do not have a people problem here. But we are facility challenged. We really are. But we can figure it out. Amen? Amen. Father, we want to thank you for directing us today. Lord, I want to thank you, Lord, for giving me an opportunity to do life among these beautiful people, Lord. I am so thankful that, Lord, I have been given the honor to serve alongside these beautiful people here at LWC. We thank you, Lord, that we're free to be who we are. We're free, Lord, to come in as we are. And Lord, we thank you that every time we come through these doors, we might come in one way, but Lord, we leave a different way. And we thank you that everybody that steps across the threshold and comes into these walls, Lord, into this atmosphere, that Lord, they would sense your presence. They would recognize they're in a safe place they can call home, and they would realize this is the family I want to belong to. And so we thank you and we praise you for helping us to serve you well. Lord, help us to honor your word. And I pray blessing, Lord, over every single person here today. Lord, give the men traveling mercies as they travel back from man camp. Thank you, Lord, that they don't leave the things at man camp, but they bring things learned, the fellowship that was gained, the camaraderie, the teaching of the word that gained the revelation, that they would bring that back to us, that we would continue to grow and expand. And Father, we thank you and we praise you for this. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. We'll see you next week.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope you enjoyed this message from Pastor Vic Prieto. If you are looking for a home church, we would love to see you here at Living Way. Please visit Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. You will find us at 2410 Duneland Beach Drive, Michigan City, Indiana, or view us on the web at myrealchurch.com.